Hello, welcome to Bagel Tip. Big on time as usual. Only 20 minutes late. It's not bad, is it, eh? We're getting there. Welcome to the Bagel Tip Big Show, where we discuss the week's technology news from where we discussed it last week, which was last Thursday. There. That's slick. We got a panel for you. Our fantastic panel. Top left, Mr. Eric Lanigan. He's got a new position. Look at him.
Oh, you caught me off guard. I was reading something. And I'm top left now. Whoa.
Top left, dude. How does that feel?
Last but not least, first but not best. Hey, guys. How's everybody?
I wasn't going to say anything, mate. How's sunny California?
It's good. It's good. It's very sunny. And I have a little bit of news that last night I did the first show of Late Night Tech, the sort of relaunch of Tech Talk back. And that's going to be weeknights now. Not every weeknight, but it'll ramp up slowly. So that's the update with that everyone's been waiting to hear.
Does that mean you get paid more?
Yeah, we'll see.
Don't care.
What's the chat room like that time of night?
What, James?
What's the chat room like that time of night?
More active than the morning. I think it's a good change.
Good.
And more people can call in because they're not at work.
I've seen you hang that show for nearly 3 hours on your own, dude.
I'm doing it standing up now too. I'm not sitting on the ball. I'm just standing there.
For 3 hours?
It won't be. I can't do 3 hours a day times 5 days a week, but it'll be somewhere. We'll figure it out. There's a lot of experimentation to do, but we're calling it Late Night Tech with Eric Lanigan. That's meaning I called it that.
Excellent.
And I just put that in the lower third, and so that's now on the schedule.
Big promo. That'll be the one. Next to Eric, in the same position, Sarah Gray. Hello, Mrs.
Oh, okay. I wasn't expecting to be next.
Oh, no, you're not. Hang on, I've got the wrong order. Steve Neighbour. Sorry,
Hello,
mate.
Sir, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. Oh, yeah, the wheels have come off already.
Have you been drinking tonight?
Well, maybe one, but not that many. No, I shouldn't be this bad. How you been, mate?
I'm excellent. I've been away from Spain for 2 weeks.
I know, we heard.
A house swap. I came back, the house was in order, they hadn't nicked anything, they hadn't been sick in any rooms, I don't think.
Whereas,
I wasn't sick at all. I might have been a little bit, you know, I had a good time over there.
You did an F1 podcast from there, which gave us the Spanish perspective on the whole Massa and Alonso thing, but you were cut, mate.
That accusation is a little bit. It was a good. I had a good day. Yeah, we had a barbecue and then podcast in the evening. But it was good.
It was actually the yellow and red Spanish flag that you were draped in, and the bright yellow and red sombrero you were wearing that made me think maybe Steve's been drinking.
Well, it wasn't a video podcast then, was it?
It wasn't. No. But the video was choppy to say the least, mate. Let alone the audio.
And the sound was bad as well. But
it was very bad.
It was a good time. It was
good.
The commentary on the Spanish Formula One was legendary. It was excited and Alonso-based. And as you'd expect, it was good.
Excellent. Beneath him, Sarah. I'm so sorry, Mrs. How are you doing?
All right. Yes, I remember that 2 weeks ago. That was a bit of a laugh. I kind of felt like I was the only sober one.
No, I was sober, dare you?
It was a good laugh, though.
I'd sat and made three sheets of A4 of notes on the race. I'd actually prepared. It's the only podcast I actually prepare for. And
I think the racing drivers were sober as well. Some of them.
That's true, yeah. Good point.
You do a drug and alcohol test on F1. Yeah. And last but by no means least, Mr. James Hart. How was the limousine this morning? Old, I gather.
The old limousine this morning and the limousine this evening was just the opposite me, and just in front of me was someone with like really strange hair extensions that look really odd. I think to myself, are you supposed to be able to see that someone's got hair extensions? No. Didn't take a photo because I would have got thrown off.
The week in tech, what's been happening? Carol Bartz is looking for a cleaning job if anyone wants to give her one.
washing a mouth out job.
We've had loads more from IFA come out. Sony have got a game-changing 3D device, allegedly. There's been some rather interesting 3D developments in that you can stand in two different places and get 3D completely differently on the same screen. That's another one that's come out, but I thought that was tested by Microsoft before. And we've got a pile of stuff. Apple have managed to get the Samsung Tab removed from IFA, which I think is a bad thing. And we've had some specs on the Amazon Tab released as well. So any of those that we fancy starting with? Should we get Miss Bartz out of the way, if you know what I mean? Yamaha? No, Yahoo have already done it.
Absolutely.
What's the the earthquake over that side on the subject, Eric? I mean, is there much of a feedback from this, or is it kind of, well, saw it coming, she was never any good anyway, or was it, you know, just generally a malaise about it?
I'm not really sure. I think my personal opinion was that she hasn't really done a whole lot. She's been colorful with her language and getting quotes in the news and everything, but I don't think that the
most direction of which they can't print.
Yeah, exactly. I was reading that she did some things that angered a bunch of their foreign investments and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, it sounds like she wasn't the right person for the job. Although I'm hearing that the board of trustees or board of directors may be equally to blame.
Well, she took their share price from $12.50 to $12.50.
Yeah,
which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'd heard that most of what she'd done had been cost cutting, but not actually doing anything to drive things forward.
Was she the one that turned down the £40 billion offer for Microsoft?
Well, I was just saying, she fought off Steve Ballmer like a prom queen, and kept Yahoo safe from the clutches of Microsoft, didn't she? But I mean, the interesting thing is, are they up for grabs again now, do you think?
Yeah, but remember, it was Jerry Yang. It was the original one of the Yahoo's original founders that fought off Microsoft, and that's the reason that Carol Bartz was brought in, because the board fired Jerry. So she was almost brought in to try to get a Microsoft deal going again, and that's why I think we do now have Bing powering the ad sales and the search mechanism of Yahoo.
The thing about Yahoo is that they've got so many of these acquisitions which they made that they've done nothing with, and it just seems rather odd that while she was in control, nothing really happened.
Well, I mean,
do you guys think tends to go in line with what I've heard?
Has there ever been a company that you guys can think of that has been able to buy its way back into the spotlight? Because I'm just thinking how, you know, this morning we were just talking minutes ago about Google just bought Zagat, that the worldwide restaurant guide. Mm. We're trying to figure out what to make of that. I kind of look at that and think I it's hard to get excited about Google just buying their way into an industry that they location and restaurant reviews that they didn't think they were that strong in. And there are some good companies established in that space.
Well, surely the key part of Google is the fact that they actually want to do something that gets them advertising opportunity. So if they buy Zagat, they've instantly got the locations of and the services of and the reviews of X number of restaurants who will then pay for returns and elevated returns within searches based around it. And that's where Google makes all its money.
And I think there's reputation there as well.
And also it stops somebody else buying them. So they can add that information to their mapping service. So when you're on the map, you can find out your local restaurant. And there's also a good review that's provided by Zagat as well. And it stops Bing buying them or Microsoft buying them and adding it to the Bing. So it's another reason to use Google Maps as opposed to moving over to Bing, I suppose.
What's quite interesting is that actually there's quite a lot of the location richness space that hasn't really been tapped. Nobody's sort of started for the acquisitions. Has anybody bought Foursquare yet? I don't think they have. Mm. No one's got Gowalla. I mean, these are the ones that I know. I mean, there must be thousands of them all over the place that could so easily be snapped up and made part of as an aggregated service. But Google have almost they've got in first.
Yeah, so it's funny, Flickr, isn't it? I mean, Flickr, part of Yahoo, has not changed in many a year.
Well, I was just about to say, the Flickr is the one thing that's iconic as a failure to capitalise, surely.
Totally.
I mean, you've got 6 billion images. There's an image for every person on the planet on Flickr, and you've got $24 a year for an unlimited upload. I mean, when I saw that, I was kind of like, I was expecting to pay $100 a month or something, or $24 a month for an unlimited upload. I pay $24.95 a year. So that works out at £17, £18 a year. I'll have some of that. Thank you very much. And I can put up as much as I want, as often as I want. I can put the resolution up that I want. It's unbelievable value for money, surely.
They're still kind of charging startup prices, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not really monetizing it properly. They can't be making huge amounts of profit out of that.
But they've not responded to Picasso. Picasso done the same thing now in the Google service.
Yeah, but I think the problem that you've got with Picasso, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the Picasa Flickr version. The trouble with that is there isn't as many people instantly there. I'm sure there will be at some point, but as Eric said there, you know, Flickr is still being run like a startup. Google service is a startup and may take over in the end and may consume Flickr, who knows? But Flickr is a slicker service in terms of interface use, acceptance, that free ability to go and post anything up to 300 megabytes makes it very, very worthwhile for people just to sign up. And then, you know, that's your drug sell onto the more expensive memberships. But there's no graduation of membership. Once you buy $24.95, that's it. There's no other way of making any money out of you whatsoever. Yeah.
And on the whole, the photos are a really good quality on Flickr. People use it to exhibit what they've done. It's like the polar opposite of Facebook, where you just sling any old crap up there. They've resized it to 320x240, and everybody just goes, "Yeah, great job."
I think Flickr is quite possibly, well, it's easily the best value service on the net at the moment. You know, take away Spotify free accounts, take away Evernote and those kind of things. For $24.95, the amount of upload that you get and the amount of bandwidth that they provide back in return for the users is ridiculous.
Did they go into video? So we've had nothing but great, glowing things to say about this service that Yahoo does not know how to make a dime off of. And aren't they want to sell it off or something, or it's going to go bankrupt, or they're going to spin it off. So to answer your question, Ewan, yeah, I think Carol Bartz was not effective if one of the things she couldn't do was make any kind of a profit off of this thing that's the best deal on the internet.
The thing is, though, how many other companies like we've just talked about could you say the same thing about? She just couldn't find a way to monetize it like loads of other companies haven't been able to.
Well, I think that's why it's interesting whenever you get these companies like Yahoo or with this latest news, I see them compared to AOL, which is another company from the Web 1.0 days that kind of lost its direction. Their core service was taken out from under them, and they've tried to come back into the world and reinvent themselves as a aggregator of other people's work, basically. Like AOL just bought a bunch of news properties, and I guess they think that the way that they can do it better than those people could independently is just by, you know, the basic efficiencies of being a larger business with many properties and not competing with each other and sharing certain resources. If that's the best that a company can hope for, a web company, then I don't think that's hardly a web company. That's just like managers having fun, seeing what they can do with their managerial skills. Because there's no innovation or anything to find enjoyable about following such a thing.
I mean, search was Yahoo. That was it.
It
was the word for search. There was no Googling. It was just you went on Yahoo. There's an interesting point in the chat room here from Tone saying, whenever I actually used Bing, I found it a disappointing experience, even for things like Maps. I preferred the experience with Google. So it was all about that UI. It was all about the interaction. And if Yahoo's powering Bing effectively, then it's Yahoo's negative service that's on show and display with that. So there's nothing there driving you forwards. People will go to Bing not realizing they're using Yahoo, but Yahoo aren't making a huge amount off that potentially. And the Yahoo interface, whilst it had the opportunity to capitalize on being the first within the market, just like a dinosaur, failed to adapt and evolve. And they brought Carol in to say, come on, evolve us. And
they're still doing a load of stuff they were doing 10 years ago. I mean, you know, the definitive place to play fantasy football is on Yahoo. I mean, that is so niche. It's just kind of like, well, yeah, where's your big product? Where's the thing? You know, it used to be that you used to watch music videos and get your music from Yahoo. You don't do that anymore. There are so many cooler places to do that. I imagine there probably is a massive music collection on there somewhere.
One service I always stumble across, which is a Yahoo service, is it Yahoo Answers or Yahoo Questions? Where you type into Google, how do I fix this plumbing item? You always end up going on to Yahoo Answers.
Yes, you're right, Steve. Unreasonably good SEO for a website for Yahoo, because there is nothing there of value.
No. What's the name of that new question service? A really good one that I
Quora?
Signed up to. Sorry?
Quora?
Quora, yeah, Quora with a that's Q? Right. It was a brilliant tweet during the week of one of these questions that asked, what do I do if someone puts a gun to my head? And the Quora answer was fantastic. Someone who used to be a policeman, used to be working security, and he went through every detail. He'll be panicking. This is what you've got to do. Keep calm. They go to Yahoo Answers, and it's like, try and knock the gun out of his hand.
So is this like a crowdsourced solution?
Yeah.
So the question goes out and people give an answer because
it's a crowdsourced solution for idiots. I mean, the worst questions are there, followed by the worst answers.
it's great for entertainment.
What's the web address? Right,
it always comes up in search results.
Just go to Yahoo Answers. Just type Yahoo Answers into your favorite search engine, Bing or something. I can't believe you haven't seen Yahoo Answers.
I've never used Yahoo Answers.
So much. They're like the anti-Wikipedia.
So should we ask a question?
What question should we ask? People just guess. I guess I come across it and I'm like, how do you do such and such? Like a really technical thing I can't find the answer to. And the people just guess. And the next person, and then it's just like fighting the whole way because people are just like, that's not how you do it. And then because no one knows, they're just, some of them are like, go read the internet.
Come on, chat room, give us a question to ask on Yahoo Answers and see if we get a response in time. We'll ask the question.
How do I get blue tack out of my hair?
I didn't get what?
Do you guys get blue tack in the States?
Blue tack?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay, super glue.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I've just typed, how do I get blue? And I've got, how do I enable Bluetooth on my laptop? Yahoo Answers. Bluetooth on a laptop? Yahoo Answers. How do I get blue tack?
I'm going to answer it.
So what do we think, guys? User-submitted content? I mean, here we are basically making fun of this user-submitted content where anyone can just post stuff. Is that not what Google is saying a little bit by buying such a respected review site as Zagat rather than taking an approach of like Yelp or Foursquare where it's totally user-submitted reviews to the point that fraud and you know fraudulent companies
gaming,
and marketing and things become an issue?
I'm distracted by the fact that we'd put too much emphasis onto Yahoo Answers. We said, how do we get blue tack off our hair? Yahoo. How do I get blue tack off my tights? That's the question you want to ask.
I stored some blue tack in my shoe and forgot about it. When I took my shoes off, I found it was stuck to the bottom of my tights. I've tried freezing the tights, but that didn't work. Maybe it's only for chewing gum. Thanks. There is a product called Goof Off. I can remember many sticky things. However, depending on how much you spent on them, you may want to get a new pair anyway. The cost of Goof Off probably outweighs the tights.
See, I think we just stumbled on Yahoo's cash cow that's been under their nose the whole time. They just need to rebrand this as a humor site.
Pay that for idiots. The answers.
Idiot.com.
Idiot.com.
Yahoo idiots.
Oh, my life. How do you get blue tack out of your hair? And how do you get super glue out of your hair, I've put in. So it's going to email me when I get a response. See if we get one before the end of the show. There we go. Ms. Bartz, thumbs down then, clearly. She wasn't good enough for the job.
It was the nature of the way she was fired that was really interesting as well.
Well, at least it wasn't a text.
She managed to send out that email before they cut her off, presumably, to everyone in Yahoo saying, I've just been fired by phone.
Not only that, but later I saw that the guy who fired her was reading from a script. And supposedly she then asked, is actually, I think, a statement that she then made publicly, like just, I don't know, when this morning
was
or whatever.
Was it a call center in Bangalore?
What?
Was it a call center in India?
We would like to ask.
James, don't do the accent, dude. Don't do the accent.
So apparently she told a crowd of people that this guy fired her over the phone and read from a prepared script, and then she supposedly said, "What, do you not have the balls to say that to me in person or something like that?"
That sounds like Carol Bartz right there.
Yeah.
I bet there was another word involved.
But
don't use it, because I'm not editing video this weekend as well as.
I'm trying to find the odds of what company she's most likely to go to.
HP.
Microsoft.
Well, I'm not going to say anything, but I think we covered HP last week in terms of the destructive path that they seem to be on at the moment.
Did you see the S-Walker electric transporter? This thing is a Segway, effectively, but from China. And it costs a lot less. There's a surprise. €2,500 as opposed to €5,000. But that's got Sumi written all over it, hasn't it?
It does.
That's way close to the real McCoy.
Mm. How close? I mean, the design clearly looks almost exactly like a Segway. Do we know if the technology is similar?
Well, you stand up on it and it won't let you fall over. So if that's the technology of a Segway, I guess so. But there's this person here using it that's on the video and not falling over in one of the back lots at IFA. So,
oh, I see. So you basically steer it using a joypad rather than leaning, which is slightly less scary, I guess.
A little bit, maybe. So there's a slight difference there. But, I mean, the basic technology of movement's still there. And did you see the Samsung Galaxy M?
Yeah. You see, I have something to say about that.
Go on.
I used to own something called a Blackjack by Samsung. This is not their first attempt to make a phone look like a BlackBerry.
Oh, really?
It's just this time they've put a decent operating system on it, yeah.
So they've released an Android phone that looks like a BlackBerry. I mean, I've never seen anything that's as close to a BlackBerry without being one. If you'd have shown me that with the Samsung bit scratched off, I'd have sworn blind it was a Curve.
I was going to say, you could put a BlackBerry badge on it, no one would know any different.
The Samsung BlackBerry, says the chat room. Absolutely. That's it.
I'm not sure. Are you guys saying, though, that no one should be able to make a phone that has a QWERTY keyboard and a 4x3 screen?
No.
Because the HTC Char Charger doesn't
make one
look
like a photocopy.
Well, I mean, this to me sounds a lot like the argument about the iPad and the Galaxy Tab. I mean, I don't really know how you make a phone that has a little keyboard and a little screen that doesn't look like it has a little keyboard and a little screen. Like, what are you guys picturing that could be so radically different that it would not resemble a BlackBerry?
Well, I mean, I think there's an interesting point in that I think if you look at the Galaxy phone, that was clearly looked like, reacted like, icons were the same as the iPhone and looked a ripoff. And deep down, as soon as I saw it, I thought ripoff. As you look at the 10-inch tab, I never thought that looked like an iPad at all. And if you look at the 7-inch, there's clearly no difference because it's a completely different form factor and functionality. But with this one, Steve, when you saw that, because you didn't see it until this evening, I gave it you, and as soon as you opened it up, your first reaction was, I'm a BlackBerry user. That's your phone.
I've got a BlackBerry Bold, and it's ridiculous. It's the way that the return button to the right of the up and down button is the same arrow. The fact that the number keys are in exactly the same position and they are the same, almost the same font as the BlackBerry as well. And
it's really curvy as well, like a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
That's interesting that this seems to bother you guys somewhat, because I actually think that it's completely all right to make a phone that resembles the BlackBerry this much, just like they made a phone that resembled the iPhone that much. To me the actual design seems simple enough that's something everyone should be able to copy, and then the actual success of the device is more on the software and the hardware that you don't see, but the actual just keyboard screen, that seems obvious to me, trivial.
You have to give them credit for actually saying, no, sod it, I know we're going to get sued, I know they're going to try and get injunctions to take these things off the shelves, but we're going to do it anyway. I applaud them for that.
I think the question is whether you've done something that's genuinely different and gives you a commercial opportunity as opposed to a commercial negativity. And in the Galaxy, the phone, it looked like an iPhone. The icons were the same, and I thought, well, yeah, that looks like a ripoff. And this one does the same, and the other ones that haven't. I mean, it's if you pick a melody that sounds really like another tune and put some different words to it, that you're still going to attract the attention of people swearing blind that you've plagiarized their song. If you write an article, Eric, as a journalist, if you blatantly hack sections out of other stuff and it's your article, but there's heavy influence from other people, you run the risk of plagiarism as an opportunity. I think this is as close to plagiarism, if you like, as you get.
Mm. Well, it was interesting, Ewan, that you said. Almost like they have a moral obligation to innovate. And I think what's interesting is I don't think of Samsung and a lot of those manufacturers of just, bulk manufacturers of consumer electronics as really caring at all about the innovation. They really are competing just on price when it comes down to it. A company like Samsung is more than happy to lift the ideas directly from Apple or Google or whoever's doing it, whereas a company like Apple and Google cares so much more about the innovation and the thought process and being the best one making original ideas.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there is no innovation in a lot of the other electronic phone providers. Steve's found a picture here of the Samsung aberration. What's it called? Samsung Blackjack.
I think that's one James was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And
that'd be a pretty good name too, the Samsung aberration.
That's a horrific phone.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't look like it.
That's got ice puck written all over it.
But that's a phone with a QWERTY keyboard on it, but it doesn't look like a BlackBerry to me.
No, it doesn't.
They did call it the Blackjack, and actually, it was really good to type on. I could touch type on it, which you can't do with these blooming soft keyboard things.
Yeah. Yes.
I just thought it was interesting that when Apple's actually suing Samsung for a lot of things that it's not doing, there's other products out there that are clear rip-offs of other products, and no one's suing anybody. The world's gone mad with suing. There we go.
It has a bit, hasn't it?
Is there another product that looks like the Sony HMZ T1 personal viewer?
I'm very excited about this. This personal view is going to save my marriage, I think.
Because
has everyone seen this?
I've tried one.
Well,
really?
Have you?
Well, there was VR headsets that were very similar to this for a long time, wasn't there?
No. I think I tried this at CES. I've been reading the article trying to see if it was the same one or if this is in some way improved, like, 6 months, 8 months later. Or yes. I guess, 9 months? I have no idea what time it is. But I tried. They had a very – because the one that they had at CES was very prototype-y. It had no design elements. It was like just a big black box that you literally held on your head because it had no strap design. Right. They just are like, just hold this up to your head. And I was struck by, it was the best 3D I've ever seen of any system, movie theater, TV, best 3D ever, because it's two independent panels.
Right.
One can't be any better than those little ones you click clunk when you're a kid. Little plastic things. They were
the Viewmaster.
Yeah.
It's just like that.
Stephen and I were talking before we started broadcasting, and I said all these people have been trying it on at IFA, and inside there's a little sticker that just says, when you take this off, please say wow. And Steve said, there's a girl in the corner who'll give you $20. You go, wow.
It's a very funny comment on the in the chat. Computer boffins, give it a month and Samsung will have one.
That's a good one.
Will you look like Cyclops from X-Men? Yeah, that's the picture, isn't it? That one there.
Cyclops are also a Geordi LaForge. I saw someone wrote. What's funny, because I'm right there with you. This looks silly. It looks weird. It looks bizarre. That photo actually right there looks weirder than even the concept of that photo of that guy looks weirder than the product itself, I have to say. Just something about it. But I think that this really is an amazing product. If I were traveling all the time, taking long flights and wanted to watch movies, this is better than sitting in a 3D movie theater. It really is. Yeah. Because now the panels are only 720p, so they can work on that. But it's the visual equivalent in the way that the mirrors and the glass works inside to, I think it said, watching like a 70-foot screen from so many feet away, or a 700-foot screen from 70 feet away or something. So it feels like the biggest movie screen you've ever seen, and like you're right there at the perfect spot in the theater. But none of the flicker or the motion sickness or any of that weird stuff that you've ever seen with glasses wearing 3D is a part of this because of the independent panels. So I would totally sit and watch this, as long as you don't care about looking so strange, on a plane or something like that.
This puts me into mind of two things. The first one is discreet movie watching on a plane, Eric. And the second one is Better Than Life, the Red Dwarf episode, where everybody just sits there. Like in the sort of state, and all that happens is they slowly die because they forget to feed themselves.
Well, there's a picture on the story from IFA, and you just got, that's a camping competition right there.
I haven't seen it.
What I can imagine on this, just seriously, is it's got two OLED screens. So the screens that they have got in there are bloody good screens. And I think I heard 700-inch screen that it looks like. They're full HD resolution as well, 1280 by 720.
It creates a unique sense of depth watching the latest 3D trailer. There's two OLED panels made by Sony's semiconductor division, according to Yoshimura Matsumoto from Sony's home entertainment business group.
Yep.
They're 0.7-inch diagonal panels. That's pretty small.
But I'm told it looks really good when you got it on. And I can imagine sitting on my little beanbag, my wife watching Big Brother. I don't want to watch it. Stick this on my head. Play some game on the Xbox. I'm happy as Larry. Marriage saved.
Back to the Futures, where they had these two. They had TV glasses at the kitchen table where it was all Michael J. Fox's.
I would say you've just touched on something. The gaming experience with this must be absolutely amazing.
3D.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
We've got an application suggestion already from Paul in the chat room. Lap Dancer HD. Nice to see.
He's not allowed to touch.
I was about to ask you guys, do you think you would buy this if it were, you know, the right price? But then I realized, no, I don't think anyone should buy this one because unless they like just hugely improved it since the one I saw at CES on the Sony booth.
Well, they've got straps on it.
Well, that's a plus. You don't have to hold it up with your hand and it weighs 5 pounds like a brick. But it was a little bit washed out. It was a little bit, you could see the pixels. I mean, this is not it was not a retina display we're talking about. I could see the actual pixels. Maybe they worked that out. I don't know. But I'm also guessing that at the very least, this is going to be one expensive device. But let's suppose a couple of years down the road, the visual quality is stunning. It's perfect. And it's cheap. Would you ever buy one of these? Just would you ever be caught dead wearing one? I think I might.
I bought one of those pieces of crap where you put a little thing on the top of your monitor and you had these spectacles on, you got 3D, and it wasn't 3D. It was just, you know, it was just crap vision. I bought that. I parted with £199 for that quite happily 10 years ago or 8 years ago. Wasted every
crap vision.
Penny
I have
of
one
it.
Of those.
Yeah, crapper vision.
The price is meant to be $800.
$800. I can't find a price on the stories I've been looking, but.
I suppose what you
see,
could
if you,
do is
if you think about what you're getting
touches.
For that, it's not bad. The only thing that troubles me is this whole sod everybody else, I'm going to my own personal experience thing. And it's like the whole headphones, the in-ear headphones when it isolates you, except like a million times worse. And that just, I feel a bit, it just feels wrong.
Computer
Buffing. If somebody could be nicking all your stuff.
The problem is, Computer Buffing says, is if you were watching porn on it, when would you know if the missus was coming into the room?
Exactly.
Well, do you know, in all seriousness, that was what was going through my mind. Not exactly that, but in terms of the losing sense of, you know, imagine if you're totally engrossed in something and somebody pokes you. But you're going to leap out of your chair, aren't you?
The other thing is, would it come with an optional Kleenex dispenser?
You could just do the cheaper version and just get two iPod Touches and just nail them to your glasses.
A pair of goggles.
Actually, there is a ghetto version of this. And this I saw at Macworld. Someone's selling a hat for like $20 that you put your iPhone. It's just like a long-brimmed hat like this with like a flap. And you put your iPhone in there, and it has like much, much cheaper optics, but a little kind of a magnifying glass, or I guess the reverse of that, makes it look like it's closer or farther or something.
Oh, like a Fresnel lens,
view. It's not 3D, but it's like a personal view of the iPhone as if it were a large screen.
You want cutting-edge technology, mate. Here's something I've photographed this week.
Hang on a second. I've got to turn the stream on, haven't I?
That's a solar-powered hat with a fan in the front to keep you cool. There you go.
Quality.
How does it work?
You point your head at the sun. And
there's a hole in the hat.
While you're getting hot, because you're pointing your head at the sun, there's a little fan at the front that twizzles round on an electric motor and keeps you cool. So it's kind of like giving away and taking with the other.
Put it through a test run?
No, I can't get it to work.
Oh, really?
Fantastic link
in the
chat room.
I don't know if there's a switch for it or what, but there you go.
Computer Boffin has just posted a link into the chat room saying, here's the Samsung version. I'm not sure at this point if that's the hat. Samsung have already done
like a beak.
Version of the hat with a fan.
Would you wear this item? That's a horrific thing.
It's on Gizmodo. It's the As Seen on TV hat.
The delay of me laughing is it just now loaded for me, but yeah, that's what I used.
That's what you use. Is that you actually there?
Just, no.
You haven't shaved that day. I love the fact it's camouflage.
The guy's got a bag what, on gonna, his head.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm going to try and fade into the...
Yeah, I mean, it's, you look like... Well, the thing is, you want the camouflage because you look like a black-billed pelican and you're going to get shot.
I think that's one for the comfort of your own home.
Or people will think that you're getting shot, but you'll get taken down by a secret military ops person because you look like you're spying with infrared long-range goggles.
Yeah. Either way, I think this is the future. I think this will be the
it's the Samsung platypus.
Oh no, that wasn't Samsung though.
No, I know, but people were saying it's the Samsung ripoff. So,
yeah, no, that was actually that's funny. It was actually it's like one guy who just stands there at the booth and shakes your hand and says, "Hey, try my hat."
If he gave me money, seriously. Maybe, but that's about it.
Anyway, I just wanted to say, I think this kind of a thing does have a future because I think when people realize that true stereoscopic 3D is such a genuine experience that the fake stuff with glasses isn't. I think there are enough personal close out the world, listen and watch experience times in life. Like if you're on a plane or someone else is watching TV and you don't want to watch that, or you're playing a video game over Xbox Live with someone who is in another state, you know, I think this could have a future.
Yeah. If this was 200 quid, 200 quid
in maybe three, four years, it could be. It could so easily be that.
Yeah, I think this will be how people game in a year's time.
Gaming,
I
absolutely.
I think it's huge.
I just think, maybe I'm just being boring, but I just think it's so dangerous.
Well, I mean, think of, Sarah, where you would feel comfortable falling asleep, taking a nap, and then just, that's where you would wear a TV hat.
Is it the Orgasmatron at a Barbarella? Didn't they put that thing on like that and it was the Orgasmatron? And didn't they do it on, what was the name of, Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone? Him and Sandra Bullock got a bit jiggy and she wanted to put the...
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They
wanted the VD to simulate...
Glasses, the VD glasses. There we go. That's a Freudian slip. VD glasses. That's the title then. Amazon tablet. Have we seen anything? There was some specs released by TechCrunch. Old Mr. Arrington managed to push out a few things about it being a 7-inch full-color hands-on tablet. Anyone excited, or is this just going to be another one that Apple choose to sue?
The one thing I saw was that Amazon would be the real contender to Apple because they have so many credit cards online or in the family already. So they could easily link it up with their store so that buying not only the books, but the games, the videos, the rest of the apps could work so easily because they've got all those credit card details straight away, just like Apple have.
And they've already done that so well with the Kindle.
Yes.
Amazingly so.
That's interesting. I had not heard the credit card take, but I think it's a huge deal because Amazon is the only company in the world that could actually give the iPad a run for its money because they're the only company who, based on their business model of selling media, meaning books, movies, music, and TV shows, that Apple already does. Apple's the only manufacturer of hardware that has that kind of a robust media selling content for their products besides software. That's what makes Apple unique in that space. But what Amazon can do, because that's their primary business, is dramatically undercut that. We know they've done it with the Kindle. They know how to underprice the hardware so that they'll sell more content. And we know how to get great deals and lock everyone in with the one-click buys and everything. They're really good at the content sales. So if they come out with a tablet that's half the price of the iPad, that would be enormously disruptive. And they, I think, could actually afford to do that.
There's two points on that. So it's one, it's the opposite of Apple's business model, where Apple don't, I think, make a lot of money on the apps, the music. So it's almost the opposite. So they try and make money on the hardware. So it's the opposite business model. But then separately, I think Amazon own Netflix. Is that right?
Mm-mm.
No,
I don't know that.
No. They have their competitive service called Amazon On Demand.
Okay, so they have a similar service that it could easily link into.
prices are saying $250 for the laptop, for the tablet. So I mean, I would have said that that's probably either subsidized or it's very, very low end profit. I mean, they're talking about the manufacturing costs on the iPad being nearly that, aren't they? $220, $230, something like that.
I think with the Kindle, they'll make their money on the content.
Yeah,
I think they almost have to do it. Actually, I think they almost have to do it because I think the only thing that's keeping the tablet market from exploding and like everyone in the world buying one or three or five of them personally is the fact that the prices are so high. And these really are kind of like they're sometimes Game Boys, sometimes they're Walkman, sometimes they're a pad of paper or a book. You know, they're this weird kind of thing that shouldn't be as expensive as they currently are, but we should have more of in our possession. So what it's gonna, if Amazon came in, and I think they could afford to do this, and they really took a loss on the hardware or sold it for, you know, exactly at cost or even less than that, they could screw up the entire tablet game for Apple, because Apple makes great profit margins off of that right now, and no one else can even touch that because no one else is good about squeezing the manufacturing cost out. So if Amazon came through and said, we're just going to take a loss, and then forced Apple to drop the price of their tablet by half to compete with that, what would that do to everyone? That would be so disruptive, I think they almost have to do it.
I think exactly the point is that they've got to, the model is different. The model's entirely changed. They don't need to make money on the hardware at all because they're going to make so much money on content. And they're taking 30% cuts, the same as Apple are, aren't they, on most content. There's some that they're getting higher and some getting lower, but generally speaking, they're right in there in the market. I mean, someone needs to be bold and aggressive. I thought what was quite interesting about the leak here was the form factor, that they've gone for 7-inch. I mean, everyone at the moment seems to be striking on this idea that 7 is the magic number. 7-inch tablets are running out akimbo. Is that just to kind of cock the snoot at Apple and give them two fingers? Or is 7 the actual magic number for form factor on tablets now?
I think, if nothing else, they're easier to make because you don't need as much. You have a smaller resolution screen. Well, yeah, it's still a heck of a lot more resolution than anything else of that size, but a 10-inch tablet is a lot harder to make because you've got to have so many more touch cells, you've got to have so many more screen pixels, and all right, so you get more space for the battery, more space for the processor, but it's actually a lot more expensive to make a 10-inch tablet. So from a manufacturing point of view, I believe a 7-inch one's cheaper. Plus, it's the fact that it's almost pocket-sized.
And it's interesting. It's too big. Yeah, James, I didn't know all that about the cost of the actual touch cells and everything. I was going to take a more cynical view and say that it's just because these companies, I mean, Apple markets the iPad as something you can watch movies on, but they don't design it for watching movies. They design it for doing productive things, or at the least playing games or playing apps, or reading a book. Whereas I think the other manufacturers, because they're at such a loss for how to market these things or get people to buy them, they say, watch movies on it. It's a portable DVD player. Buy one for the kids. Keep them busy in the car, you know? And I think that's one of the reasons that everyone has seized on the 7-inch form factor, which you'll notice is almost always 16:9.
It is long and thin, isn't it? Quite odd.
I mean, Computer Boffin's saying that 7-inch is the sweet spot because of the inability to compete on price on the 10-inch, so they've got to compete with something else.
You're barely seeing any 10-inch tablets at all, and those are coming from the big manufacturers, and they're charging big bucks for it.
We've had a reply to how do I get super glue out of my hair.
Had a drum roll before that.
Set fire to it. Go on.
From Dan.
Not from Carol.
Lather it in tomato sauce, ketchup, and then rinse it with vinegar. I've got a 5-year-old daughter, and this works like a charm.
She obviously does it regularly.
I expected the next line, because it cuts off at the end of I've got a 5-year-old daughter, and then you go around to the next carriage return, if you like. And I expected her to who hates me with a vengeance for rubbing tomato sauce and vinegar in her hair. But, I mean, would you put tomato sauce and vinegar in your hair? Well, that was 20 minutes to that solution. Sorry?
That's pretty good.
Could you ask another question?
Soak it in vinegar for about 10 minutes and then shampoo it. That's definitely going to get it out.
Ask, would you employ Cavill?
Yeah, what else is that going to do to your hair, though, with the vinegar for 10 minutes?
Oh, dear me.
Frizzy. It
doesn't bear thinking about.
Who would employ Carol Bartz now, and for what?
I don't think you're going to get many responses to that, actually. I don't think that's quite the audience that reads that stuff.
No, I don't think it is either, to be honest. No. But the and for what bit was the bit I added for that purpose, perhaps.
Now, if you put that on Quora, you might actually get some really interesting responses.
Mm.
What's Quora's address?
However you spell Quora, Q-U-A-O-R-A.
O-R-A. Q-U-O-R-A. I think it is.
Quora. Quora.com. Oh, I'm going to sign in and get an account. And stuff.
I went on it once. Yeah. I think I've answered one question.
Oh, you've actually answered. You've taken part and helped.
Yeah, it was about 3 broadband, and I thought I knew that about it, so I typed something in.
Jolly.
I've probably got one point or something.
Quite a few questions about Carol Bartz on Yahoo already. We're late.
We'll see if we get one by the time we've done our cool thingies. So, have we got any cool thingies? Eric, no, I've got you at the start of the queue, dude. You haven't got any thinking
time. I was gonna make my new show the cool thingy, and I screwed up when I did it at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
You still do it. We'll pretend we didn't hear.
I think.
Okay, so my cool thing is a new show I'm doing. It's called Late Night Tech, and it's a replacement for Tech Talk Back, and it's starting on the Twit Network, and it's gonna do a bunch of nights a week, and I don't know what, but you have to follow me and know when it's happening. But it's basically Tech Talk Back, but it's weeknights, late at night, and it'll be fun. So watch.
I got no issue with shameless self promotion, dude. I'm fine with that. That's good. That's my cool thingy as well, then.
Yay.
Steve, have you got a cool thingy for us? I know I've kind of... You had about half hour's notice for this, so...
I have, actually. I did have 2, but I've forgotten one of them. I might remember it. But the other one is...
Eric's asking for a DM now on that.
It's a Mac one, I'm sorry. But 1Password is half price at the moment on the Mac App Store.
Ooh.
So it's... £13 for 1Password, and it also includes the update to the next version that will come out, which I think will be version 4. So I now own 1Password.
Excellent. Well done. Good choice. Sarah, what have you got for us?
Anything? I have actually. I've been playing with Google Latitude this week.
Is that about to be canned?
Well, I hope not, because I actually really like it. I know it's a bit sad sort of looking at where you've been and things like that, but I'm kind of thinking this is actually going to be quite useful in the future for all sorts of reasons. If I need to find out where I've been and stuff like that, I don't need to worry about it just because my phone will track it wherever I go, which is great. And I've, you know, there's no way I'm going to let anyone else look at this data, but for me, I think that could be really useful.
Very good. It's free, I take it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can put the app on your phone. It's also available on the web as well. And I just keep it switched on my phone all the time. But obviously, I'm keeping the data private. But for personal use, I think it's going to be really useful. So I hope they don't can it. Google Latitude.
Oh, as an app?
Yeah, as in longitude and latitude.
It's on a layer on Google Maps as well.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I couldn't find a specific link for it, but I'm sure anyone who's interested can find it.
I like Google Latitude because Beth follows me on Google Latitude and can find out where my stretch limo is, so she knows when to start tea.
Well, this is the
thing.
That's
what she tells you.
If you've got kids and stuff like that, I can imagine it could be quite useful.
You switch it off when you're in that flat in Kensington, of course.
How do you know about the flat? I must have put it on Foursquare.
With your personal viewer on.
You go checking in when you shouldn't have done, James.
What's that?
Did you go checking in when you shouldn't have done?
Never. I'm not that stupid. I mean, I've never strayed.
I'm just going to leap in and do a quick cool thingy ahead of James because it's my show and stuffy all.
And because you can.
And because I can. But no.
You can't do that.
I'm doing this because it's the only problem at the moment is there's actually a live picture. And this is not my cool thing. I've got another cool thing as a little gadget. But the NASA ISS live streaming from the International Space Station, I sat and watched this last night, and I could watch my pulse rate. I could feel my pulse rate descending as I watched it. It's not particularly good quality. Once they improve the quality, if they can ever get this in HD, then I don't think I'd ever move from the sofa. But this thing is going, I think it's going over one of the polar ice caps as we look at the minute. It's a live feed from the International Space Station. And it's all it does is it's pointed at the Earth constantly. When it goes around the dark side of the planet, it it puts a still image up and you don't see anything unless it can pick something up. But I sat and watched this last night till God knows how long. Hours just went by in a heartbeat. If I went up to the space station, I'd never do a damn thing. There you go.
Got a link?
It's not a link. It's an ASX file that you've got to download from NASA. ISS livestream.asx.
Okay.
And then you open it in something that actually works, and QuickTime's supposed to do it, but it doesn't. You're all right if you're a Windows media player because it'll do it straight away. But
you could run it in VLC.
Yeah, I was just about to say I'm running it in VLC. That's the only way I could get it to run. But there you go. That's the picture, and it's Mother Planet. Just beautiful.
Once around the world beautiful. Every 45 minutes.
Yeah, do a complete lap in 90, don't they?
Yeah. Mm.
James, have you got a cool thing for us?
I have a number of cool thingies. I was inspired by your I was inspired by your excellent cool thingy from last week. Going to Aldi and finding a bargain, and so yes. I found a pack of four tins of Branston baked beans for 87 pence at Lidl.
And that's technology. How exactly?
Seriously though. Seriously though, where can you go from Aldi and Lidl? Well. Remember when you were at school and you had to bring in you just started big school and they said you must buy your own scientific calculator, and so the one we all had was the Casio FX82A. It was like sort of 9-10 quid from WH Smith's. Well, my wife got one today, scientific calculator. It's got tangents, cosines, funny little characters, hexadecimals, everything. Poundland.
How much was it, if that's not a stupid question?
A pound.
Yes, no, it's okay. There's a lot of stuff in Poundland which is not a pound.
There you go. Poundland for a pound. I thought I was very
that
impressed
was
with that.
A pound. That's fantastic for a pound.
Scientific calculator.
And it's
for
not
a
just a calculator, it's a scientific calculator.
Well, it's yeah. I mean,
I'm sure it wasn't obtained in the riots.
Absolutely. That was free.
Did you buy it in a plastic bag from a guy in the market?
Yes. It was either that or a plank of wood. I have a subsidiary cool thing. If you're interested, you don't want to go to Poundland and buy a calculator. You can get CalcBot for the iPhone. And the great thing about CalcBot for the iPhone is it's got an Easter egg. That if you type in, let me just make sure I've got the numbers right. I've got to wait for him to type it in now because I'm looking over his shoulders. 5-3-1. Hang on, I've got...
God, this 8, is good video.
008 and turn it upside down. See what happens. So CalcBot.
There's a few calculators won't let you type in sequences of numbers that spell out rude words.
Exactly.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. And if they come up as an answer, they just come up as error. They won't let you.
That's
you
know. Right.
If well, you type 807704S, that spells yes. bollocks. But it won't let you type it in.
Yeah. How exactly
yeah, so
do you do the K?
It's a 4 because you turn it upside down.
That's cheating.
Yeah.
That's an H anyway.
There you go. That's ISS at the moment over some broken cloud. Oh, God. Stunning. Stunning.
It is amazing.
James, I didn't hear what you said about the calculator because as soon as you said baked beans, I had to run up to my cabinet and get this. Is this a thing? Is this a big thing in the UK?
That's a staple diet, dude.
Wow.
I never knew this. And then I asked people, I said, did you ever hear about this? That people over there in the UK, that they love Heinz beans and the turquoise? They're like, no, I've never heard of this. I watched some Secrets of the Super Brands was like some documentary I happened to see. Anyone here see that from the BBC, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, but they did a book on it as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did they? I don't know. But so anyway, I was watching that just for just out of curiosity. You talk about brands, and they were talking about food, and that's where the host is talking about everyone there loves these beans. He's going to restaurants. They say we proudly serve Heinz baked beans. And yep. It's like I've never had these in my life. I've never heard of anyone who has tasted. I haven't even dared open it and taste it yet. Beans and tomato sauce. I can't even imagine what that would taste like.
It was invented in America.
Yeah. I know.
If I'd known that, Eric, I'd have brought you some over when I came over in May.
And some Marmite.
Yeah.
There you go.
But so how did that happen? I didn't know that was a thing. How did that happen, that became so big over there? Beans and tomato sauce. Who knew?
They're cheap.
Well, it's not a tomato sauce, though, mate. It's not tomato sauce. Really, doesn't quite describe it.
It's not ketchup.
It's tomato-y. Yeah, but it ain't tomato.
It's more like yeah.
Yeah.
You just eat it by itself,
or do you put it on stuff?
No, you warm it up and put it on toast.
Yeah,
beans on toast.
One of a friend of mine from years ago who used to light them cold inside ice buns.
Has she had the baby yet?
Yeah, she lives in Australia now.
The classic recipe is tomato sauce or Heinz baked beans in tomato sauce on buttered toast, and that's it. You just cut it into sections and eat it both together. Or
well, it's still hot.
You can grate some cheese on the top. That's usually quite nice as well as, and then just toast it off. Or you can spread Marmite on the toast underneath, then put the beans on top, and that is the pièce de resistance.
I mean, I love both of them, but not together.
Oh, no, they're beautiful, mate. That is the quintessence. That's like close to bacon and egg sandwich.
This has become bagel tech food.
Yeah, there you go. My cool thing is an LED torch. There you go. But it's not just any LED torch. It's an LED torch that you can buy from Total at the moment, as in the garage people Total, the petrol station. Yeah. And what's really cool about it is you won't see this, I don't think, on the video, and I can't even bloody see it myself. It's got a little tiny hole in the end, and it's because the hole fits on a tripod. And you get the tripod.
Oh.
And I've done a whole pile of cabling underneath the desk this week. And you get this thing and you can just switch it on and then angle it wherever you want to go. And you can see what you're doing.
And it's cool.
Your mouth. I love that.
It's kind of like a gorilla potty thing because you can actually wrap the things around stuff. So you can wrap it under your desk and hang it upside down and do the same thing. And the tripod mount is a standard tripod fitting, so you can take any of your existing normal cameras and you've got yourself a little mini tripod for your camera.
That is a great tripod.
£4.
What, for the tripod or the torch or both?
Both.
Oh, I'll have one of those.
£4. I don't know whether you've got to buy fuel together as well to get that or not, but it's Total Garages and it's £4. And I brought it home and Sharon's always bitching and moaning that she can't find anything for me for presents for birthday and for Christmas. She bought me one, and I'd already bought one for myself. Aww. So she's like, "You bastard." There you go. That is a proper cheap thing.
You get a £4 present from your wife.
I like that.
No, she. It's not. It's the thought that counts.
What do you get the man who's got everything?
Well, it's true. There is a bit of that to it. But
it's the tripod particularly that gets me.
The tripod's really quite good, and it's quite sturdy as well. And the legs are really, really flexible. They're brilliant.
Yeah, I'd buy it just for the tripod.
Really good. There you go. £4, $6.
Is there a make on it? So I could just have a look, see where it is.
Is there a make on it?
No.
Oh, yeah, actually, there is DSL. There you go. You can probably get it for £1 or something at Poundland, but never mind. I got it with my fuel at Total Garages. £4. Beautiful. And stick it behind a desk and shine it where you want to go and you can plug all your cables into the back of your computer and it's brilliant. Last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. We are totally indebted to them. Someone came last week and said, "I've tried to transfer 40 domains over to UK2 and sales have had a bit of a hippie. Oh, all right. We'll write to UK2 and we'll get it sorted for you." And they wrote to the marketing department who came and said, "Yeah, of course we'll have your 40 domains. No worries at all." They support us by giving us unlimited bandwidth and a fantastic server that never falls over. And in return, we tell you that you need to go and support them. And that's the long and the short of it, really. You buy your products from UK2. Please use the click through. Go to our webpage. Scroll down until you find the UK2 logo and then click on the UK2 logo and it'll take you to their site. They'll know that we've sent you and you go and buy whatever you want to buy. And then when you log out and go to checkout, you'll get an offer code opportunity. The offer code you should put in is BagelTech, and that'll get you 15% off your purchase, which is pretty damn good. That's a lot of money anyway. If you're transferring your domain into UK2, there's a DNS charge that goes along with that. I think it's about £15 or £16. BagelTech listeners don't pay that, so your offer code that you type in for that is BagelDNS. Here's the best part. if you're transferring your domain in, you're going to get no domain change for the DNS management. You type in Bagel DNS, but if you then also type in Bagel Tech, you'll get a further 15% off the order that you've got. So you get best of both worlds with all of it. UK2.net, we love them to bits. Please support them, because the more that you go there, the more that they support us, and we really would be lost. We broke 4 terabytes of data last month, thanks to Andy and Atco coming on and doing 27,000 downloads of one show. That helped a bit. But we are absolutely indebted to them. Please use them. Please support them. And the other thing to say is we're up for an award in the European Podcast Awards. That voting is going to run until November. So please, please, please make sure you vote for the Max Show, the News Show, the Photo Show and the Big Show. We might get a gong this year. And God knows we've tried hard enough, I think. Please, please do it. Anything else to cover, talk about now?
Yeah, the fact that Heinz, these beans are actually made in England, and I guess were imported all the way over to here, product of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, they used to get made in Birmingham. There used to be a factory here in Birmingham for making beans.
I'd be interested to find out how you get on with them, Eric.
Straight after this podcast, we're expecting a blog post, mate.
I'll have to do a review.
A review.
Eric, do you get other Heinz brands over there, don't you?
Oh yeah, I mean the ketchup is the best thing. The ketchup is everywhere.
Yeah. I thought. And the computer boffin is reminding me that there is a great side effect to those things. So enjoy, mate.
The following day.
I won't make that part of the review. Sorry.
There's a good saying that goes with that, isn't there?
Yes. Beans, good for the heart.
We'll send you some Yorkshire tea for next week, Eric.
We'll be expecting some feedback next week. That's a good point.
On mic.
Last word, where can we get a hold of you, Eric?
Twitter.com/EricLanigan and EricLanigan.com. And of course, on Late Night Tech.
Don't forget.
Having started yesterday. And again, Friday, I think, Friday night.
What time's that going out?
What?
What time's that going out?
What'd you say? What time?
What time is Late Night Tech going out?
About 8 or 9 p.m. Pacific.
Oh, okay. So I'll be in bed, unfortunately.
I was going to say, it's 4 a.m.
Well, I'll post it. You'll see it on YouTube or anywhere. So EricLanigan.
If the insomnia kicks in, mate, I'll be in there throwing some abuse in the chat room.
All right.
Keep an eye.
Yeah.
Steve, where can we get hold of you?
Clough at HQ on Twitter, London Mac User Group, and we have started prepping the keynote for whenever it happens in September for the iPhone 5 iPod events, and we're getting ready for that.
It's supposed to have been invitations yesterday, but not a thing.
Mm. Yeah, it was meant to be on the 7th, but I was there, no one else turned up, so... We'll see when it is. We'll probably get about 4 days' notice, knowing.
Well, we've got Windows 8 coming out next week that we'll have to talk about. So I can't see that they'd probably collide with that. It seems a bit silly.
I reckon about 2 days after that, just to take any news away.
Take the window. Sarah, where can we get you, Mrs.?
You can get me on my website, which is sarahjaneuk.com, or on Twitter at sarahjaneuk, and, of course, over the weekend on the Bagel Tech F1 show.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And finally, James.
You can get me on Twitter, SYZYGY. And on Sunday, I won't be on the F1 show. I'm going to be at a boot sale.
A car boot sale.
Car boot sale. You don't get car boots on a Formula One car. Darn it.
No. Just quick check. Have we had anything more on our super glue? No, we haven't. It would seem that tomato sauce.
Definitive answer.
Maybe baked beans would work.
Baked beans.
Maybe baked beans could be the super glue solution. There we go.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
You can get me on Twitter at Ewan Rankin. You can get me on Bagel Tech News as well on Twitter, and I'll spew something out during the course of the week. We'll see you again next week. Have a great tech week and enjoy your weekend. Don't forget, we've got Mac Show tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and we've got the Photo Show at 3 o'clock and the Daily News Show in the morning. Have a great weekend. See you next week.